chapter 7. Reciprocity. Give first, and the rest will follow. When you give someone a gift or favor, that person will want to return the favor. Give first, then persuasion becomes so much easier. Society has conditioned us to believe that we must return the favor. This is the principle of reciprocity at work. When someone says thanks to you for a favor you've done for them, reply by saying something like, "It's a pleasure. I'm sure you'll do the same for me. Isn't that right?" By saying this, you just ingrained in their subconscious the need to repay you back. Do this in a subtle manner, though, as you don't want to be perceived as having a self-seeking motive. I remembered watching a kiddie show where the main character named Naughty won 2 tickets for a train ride vacation. 2 of the characters, a monkey and an elephant, are giving him gifts and doing all sorts of things for him, to the point of being irritating, because they claim that true friends do these sort of things, and that true friends take their buddies with them on a vacation, just so Naughty can have one of them tag along. Naughty became aware of their selfish motives and was trying to avoid them at all costs. Now, one of Naughty's friends, who wanted to go to the train ride so badly, didn't ask Naughty to choose him as his companion, but instead, he lended a book to Naughty that will guide him to enjoy his vacation fully. At the end, Naughty selected his friend, who does not ask anything back in exchange for giving something. The moral of the story is that you should give in as many ways as you can, even in small ways you can think of, without specifically asking for anything back. Giving does not only mean imparting physical things. You can also do or say things that will leave a lasting impression in their minds. When you give something to a person, no matter how small it is, that person will feel a sense of uneasiness until he returns the favor. Sometimes the feeling of having to give something back might be so intense that what he gives back in return is exceedingly greater than what he received. Incidentally, when someone has done you a small favor and then after some time asks you a larger favor, it would be very difficult to turn him down because of the reciprocity principle. Whether a gift is wanted or unwanted, we still feel the obligation to repay. One way you can use this to your advantage is by giving something that they cannot refuse to accept. For example, it's break time in your office. You told your 4 companions in the room to wait for you to come back. You went to buy some snacks and soda for each of them. Your 4 co-workers cannot refuse to accept what you've bought for them because you already paid for their snacks. The timing is right, and they have to get along with the group to feel social acceptance. In that case, they now have a sense of indebtedness to you. This, however, should not be used to manipulate others. Every year, an institution of partially disabled artists would send me a pack of greeting cards as a gift. They accept donations, but they said it should not be regarded as payment for the products. They are simply encouraging the goodness of the human heart. If you think about it, the pressure to reciprocate a gift, even something that is not wanted or needed, is so much greater than the pressure to buy something. Here's a great persuasion secret involving reciprocity. If you made them feel that they have successfully persuaded you in the past, you will have better chances of persuading them now. How do you make them feel that they have persuaded you? Simply by agreeing with them. You may say something like, "You're absolutely right with what you said," or "You've got a valid point. I like your idea." Reciprocation with a motive. Even if you do have a purpose for giving something, never make the impression that you want something back in exchange. Remember, we don't want them to have the tiniest clue that you want something back. You don't want to be viewed as bribing them. What you do want is to be perceived as someone who gives unselfishly for their benefits and concerned with them. If they have the impression you are manipulating them, it will have worse results than if you don't give anything at all. That's why it is vital that if you have a request or proposal, you do the giving days before you ask for something, so that they won't connect the giving with the asking. Giving something while at the same time asking for something else will be viewed as a bribe. Sometimes the sense of obligation to repay the giver is so great that we don't even ask the favor at all if we think we cannot repay him. On the other hand, if you don't want to do any favors to someone at any time, don't accept his gifts if it's not in bad taste to do so. This way, you can free yourself from the guilty feeling when he comes running to you and you can't give anything back. However, this may not be easy. We can't just avoid accepting every gift or favor simply because we don't want any obligation to reciprocate. Use your judgment. If someone gave you something without asking for anything in return, you may reciprocate when he asks for a favor in the future in order to relieve yourself of the obligation. Reversing the situation, you might want to also let him feel a little guilty when you're the one asking a favor. Say something like, "I know it may not be proper to ask you to return even a tiny portion of everything I've done for you, but this time, I'm the one who needs to ask a favor." However, when you find that a person only did something in order to manipulate you into complying with what he wants, you never have to feel obligated or guilty to return the favor. Garbage in, garbage out. A deception deserves a dose of its own medicine. If a sneaky person gives you something for the sake of tricking you, give it back or accept it. If you accept it, don't feel guilty. There's nothing unfair with your action when you just can't refuse. There are circumstances when you would really like to deny people's request. You really have the power to deny them, but they have done so many great things for you, you feel like you owe them. This is called debt of honor. Deep inside, you know you can't refuse those who have done great things for you. You don't have to totally say no. Grant the request, but make the necessary adjustments to fit your needs. Here's an example. Your best friend has always been there for you. In high school, he mentored you on matters that were too complicated for you to understand, and he lended you money when you needed it. He's been your good friend for many years. When you finally got a girlfriend, well, she became your main attraction. You never have time for your best friend now. He becomes jealous because you totally refuse his invitations to play basketball, to play video games, to watch movies, etc. It doesn't have to be this way. Set aside some time for your best friend. You might say you're so busy with your job and the remaining time you have is reserved for your girlfriend. The key is having a balanced life. Did I hear you say it's very difficult? Here's what you can do. If he invites you to play basketball at 8 a.m., and you have an appointment with your girlfriend at 11 a.m., just tell him, "Okay, that'll be great. We'll play up to 10 and have some fun." You just accepted his invitation, but have set up some time limits to go along with your schedule. What if your best friend asks if you and he can go watch a movie together at a later time? You can tell him, "What a coincidence. Jen and I are going to the movies later. Would you like to come with us?" You just reiterated his statement in a way that will suit the situation and gave him a counteroffer identical to his original invitation. You can always say no without feeling guilty and in a non-offensive manner. Do not make any commitment unless you're sure you can accomplish it. If it's an invitation, say, "Thank you," and mention that you have a prior commitment or that you want to spend some time with yourself. It's equally fine to refuse a request or a command. It's better if you can make a counterproposal so they will feel that you exerted some effort to satisfy their need. If you think it is fair for you to do it, but just don't have any time, you can ask if the cutoff date can be extended. If it cannot be extended, or if you really don't like to do it, then calmly explain that due to your current responsibilities and or time limitations, it won't do justice to commit to something in a half-baked manner. Then ask if another person who is more available or more qualified can do it. Or say that you will see if you can find someone who can fill in or do the job better. This is the end of chapter 7.